And you may be seated. Our New Testament lesson today is found in the 10th chapter of Acts. I'll be reading verses 44 through 48. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. This ends our reading, and we'll hear a little bit more about that later, I hope. This brings us to that time in our service where we're able to share our joys and our concerns, and one of the joys that we want to share is an actual recognition of some of our ladies, and so we'll ask Geraldine to do that at this time. Oldest mother present today, yes.
We have a card for you and these flowers up here for you. And then our youngest mother, actually.
Yeah, we didn't figure out who the youngest mother was.
It's between Alicia and Tim. I don't know. It's me every year. Let Alicia be the youngest.
Linda. We hope that all of you will have a wonderful Mother's Day. And we thank you, the Methodist women, I guess, for making these gifts possible today. So. All right, are there other joys or concerns that you'd like to lift up? Those birthdays are pretty close together. Yeah. All right. So we have birthdays. A And my grandson has a birthday on the 14th. Are there other? Okay, a concern for Anthony, right? All right. Great. That's good. Very good. It's a joy, I'm sure, is shared by your family and a sentiment shared by all families. All right. Any others today? Any other concerns today?
I want to pray for my son, Robin, my daughter-in-law, Joey, and my three boys that contemplated a major decision in their life about adopting two children that are in the family that are in
we need safe travel, not only for them, but also for Nancy's mother this week, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And maybe for anybody coming in for that wedding. All right. Other joys or concerns today? Let's go to God in prayer then at this time. And we'll begin with your silent prayer. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the ways that you have been mother to us. We thank you for these joys that have been lifted up and announced this day. We ask your blessings on each person involved. We give you thanks for the birthdays that have come and for the celebrations of Mother's Day, for the marriage that is coming next week, for promotions and for acceptances into school. We pray that in each of these cases, the joy of those events would be mingled with your presence, your peace, and your love. Lord, we also know that there are concerns today, concerns for safe travel for all those who will be traveling this week, concerns for those who need your healing touch, concerns for those who are on our prayer list. And so we lift up those on our prayer list, especially Derek Berry, Anthony Elmore. And we lift up the decisions that are being sought by Rob and Jody and their family, and the search for a new church for them. We pray that you would guide and direct them in both of those things, that they would know your will for their lives and for this decision, that they would also find the place where you would nurture them. And we give you thanks this day for this church and the ways that it has nurtured us, the ways that it has provided mothering care, the ways that it continues to provide that love and care to others. We ask your blessings on this church and pray that you would strengthen it in all the ways that it may need to be made strong. Help us to hear your voice and to follow it, to find the courage to be the people you would have us be. Help us to love in ways that you have loved us, and help us to know how much we are loved. Lord, we pray for not only this church, but all of your United Methodist churches. We give you thanks for the Methodist churches in our county that banded together to provide hunger relief. We pray that you would bless those meals as they are disseminated and used for the needs of your people. We especially pray for our Methodist church throughout the United States and through the world, and for your universal church, that those who profess to follow you might truly know you in spirit, in truth, and might follow where you lead. We pray that you would guide and direct those who are elected or appointed over us in our nation, that you would work through the electorate process between now and November so that those who are elected would represent your desire for our state, for our counties, for our nation. We pray that we would continue to trust you in all things. Lord, we remember this day those who suffer. And for those who suffer because they don't have enough of the things of this world, we now pray. We ask that you would provide food and clothing and shelter wherever it is needed. That you would bless those agencies that seek to provide them. That you would move our hearts to generosity so that we might share what we have, so that others could enjoy what they need. Lord, we remember those who suffer because their lives are still upended by natural and man-made disasters. So we ask relief for them as well. We remember those who suffer because they have chosen to follow you. And so for all who are persecuted, who are imprisoned, or who are under even orders for death, we pray your presence, your peace, and your strength. Help each of them to know that they are not alone. Help them to know that they are undergirded by your spirit, your presence, and by the prayers of other Christians throughout the world. Help us to remember them daily in our prayers. Lord, we remember especially those who suffer because of the evil that human beings do to each other. And so we ask that our lives might be so full of love, that the power of that love might be evident, might be understood as being much more powerful than force or coercion or strength. Help us to operate in the strength of your love, in the certainty of your word, and along the paths that you call us to travel. Bless our church in all things. Bless our families and keep them safe. But let your kingdom come, and let our light be visible like a city on a hill. All of these things we pray in Jesus' name, and we add to that prayer the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is number 417. We'll be singing that to the tune of "O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing," and we'll sing the first four verses of this hymn. You may be seated. We'll ask our ushers to come forward. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all the ways that you have blessed us. We thank you for our mothers and the ways that you have been our mother. But we especially thank you for these gifts that you have given to us. And we return a portion of them, asking you to bless the gift and bless the giver, and use both gift and giver for your kingdom and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
And she never went to bed too late. Yet I never heard her complain about her family of eight. There were times she should have been sleeping late in the midnight hour. She'd get down on her knees and you could hear her say, "Lord, fill them with your power." Mama liked to burn the midnight oil down on her knees in prayer. If you ask her why she did it, she said she did it 'cause she cared. Mama knew that Jesus was waiting when she knelt by her rocking chair. Oh, I'm glad my mama was willing to burn the midnight oil in prayer. Mama's gone to be with Jesus. I've got a family of my own. Yet whenever the clock strikes midnight, you will find me all alone. That's when I start to call upon Jesus with his wisdom and his power. 'Cause it seems he loves to hear a mama's prayer, even in the midnight hour. a family of her own. Will she kneel down and pray when the hour is late and pass the legacy on? Mama liked to burn the midnight oil down on her knees in prayer. If you ask her why she did it, she said she did. Mama knew that Jesus was waiting when she knelt by her rocking chair. Oh, I'm glad my mama was willing to burn the midnight oil in prayer.
What a wonderful tribute to mothers. Thank you, Brenda. Would you join me in the prayer for illumination that's printed in our bulletins? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may encounter your risen presence today. Amen. Our gospel lesson today is found in the 15th chapter of John, verses 9 through 17. And I'm going to read this from the Common English Bible translation today. As the Father loved me, I too have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. This is my commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I don't call you servants any longer because servants don't know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends. Because everything I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you could go and produce fruit and so that your fruit could last. As a result, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. I give you these commandments so that you can love each other. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Do we have any young folks that would like to come up today? Or no? All right. Then we will press on. Every time I hear these words from Jesus, they reinforce themselves on me, you know? And I think we understand that what we heard last week and what we heard this week are very similar. That's one of the reasons I chose a different translation today. But Jesus is talking about loving others as he has loved them. And he's charging his disciples with that commandment. But we need to understand that he's doing this at almost the end of his life. He's doing this at the point of the Last Supper, basically, within a day or so of truly giving up his life for his friends. Jesus reminds people in this scripture today that they did not choose him, but that he chose them. So I really don't get a chance to choose Jesus, but Jesus chooses me. I think about those days on the playgrounds in elementary school where there was always a choice as to who would play on what team. You know, who would be chosen for dodgeball, for volleyball, tetherball, or whatever else was being played on the playground that day. And I'm reminded of those times where it's that anxious period before your name is called out. You wonder whether you will be accepted onto one of the teams. And until you are, you just worry about it. And you feel badly about yourself. And finally, when somebody calls your name, you feel accepted. And you feel perhaps loved in a way that you didn't feel before. Maybe when we hear Jesus say that he chose us, we can feel ourselves loved in a way that we didn't feel before. But Jesus wants us to know that we're loved. He wants us to know that we're chosen so that we can go and do what it is he chose us to do. To produce fruit. And produce fruit that will last. The one command that he gives at the end of his life, when he could concentrate on so many things that he had tried to teach, he sort of distills it down to that one command: love one another as I have loved you. In another place in John, he tells the disciples that that's how they will know, that's how people will know that they are his disciples, by the way that his disciples love others. So Jesus elevates them today in choosing them. But he also elevates them today in calling them not just students or disciples, not just calling them servants, although all of those that follow Jesus are called to serve. He elevates that relationship by calling them friends. I don't know whether that sort of touches your heart or not, but it's good to have a good friend. We sing that old hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And maybe we don't really understand it in terms of this scripture the way we ought to. Jesus changes the relationship between himself and his disciples. Not only are they those who follow him and do what he asks them to do, not only are they the ones who love each other as he has loved them, but they are participants in the process. God has given them a task to do. God has given them a way to produce fruit. And God has given them insight into what is necessary to do that. That insight, I think, comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit who comes at Jesus' promise later in their experience. But he calls them friends. They have a higher responsibility, perhaps, than just a servant. They're not the hired hand anymore. But that's a different relationship, isn't it? You know, we're called to serve Jesus because he has chosen us. We're called to serve Jesus because that's the way that we love God and the way that we can love each other in the world. But we're called to serve Jesus as friends, not just slaves, not just people that don't understand, but as people who are given the full impact of what it is that we're asked to do. People who, with the Holy Spirit in our hearts, know what God is asking us to do. And are able to recognize those opportunities to produce the fruit of love that does last in our world. So I think today's scripture is sort of very uplifting in terms of what it is that Jesus calls us to do and how he relates to us. But on Mother's Day, I wonder if we don't need to remember that we didn't get to choose our mothers. And you mothers really didn't get to choose your children. All that was God's choice, wasn't it? You know, God put us into a home. God puts us into a church. God puts us into relationship with other disciples in ways that choose us, but that don't give us the choice. So I told you I'd go back to the scripture in Acts, right? I think about that one as the place where Peter has no real choice in what he does for these Gentile believers. You may need to know the rest of the story. Peter was staying in a place called Joppa with Simon the tanner. And he was staying with someone who was tanning hides. Now, that's hardly the kind of kosher existence that most Jews would be expected to live. But in the midst of this staying with Simon the Tanner, Peter finds himself on the roof of the house one afternoon. And I think he probably went to sleep, took a nap maybe, but he had a vision. And in that vision, there was this great four-cornered sheet that came down in front of him and sort of settled in front of him. And on that sheet were all kinds of food. There were foods that were kosher, foods that were okay to eat for the Jews, and there were foods that weren't okay to eat. And the word came to Peter, rise up and eat. And Peter looked at the foods and says, there are foods here that I can't eat. And God says, how can you call anything unclean that I've made? And three times Peter is told to get up and eat this food that is on the sheet in front of him. And as soon as Peter wakes up from his dream and begins to contemplate this vision, there's a knock at the door. And some men have come from another town, asking him to accompany them to that town, to the house of Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion. And the town where Cornelius is about a day and a half's journey away by foot. And so these men have been en route for a day and a half. And God has been preparing Peter in that time with this vision. And as soon as they knock, Peter goes with them. And a day and a half later, he shows up in the house of Cornelius, and he's welcomed in, and he comes in as a Jew into this Gentile household. And he makes even a remark about it. The Jews aren't supposed to do this kind of thing, but you have called and asked, and I'm here. And he begins to preach and tell the story of Jesus. And in the process of this, everybody in the house realizes that the Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles, and they begin speaking in tongues and extolling, praising God. Imagine that. Peter looks around and realizes that the Holy Spirit has done the work. The evidence of it is the speaking in tongues and the glorification of God. And so he asks the rhetorical question, you know, can anybody prevent us from baptizing these who have received the Holy Spirit in the same way that we did? I don't imagine anybody in the house was able to say no. And so Peter ordered everybody to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And he baptized this Gentile household. They asked him to stay with them a few days. We don't know how long Peter stayed, but we assume that he stayed some time. That he continued to fellowship with the Gentiles. That these new Christian brothers and sisters that God had chosen, he was able to relate to and perhaps love in the ways that Jesus loved. But Peter didn't get a chance to choose who would be disciples of Christ. He didn't get a chance to choose who he would love among those that Jesus had called. And I'm sure he never fully expected that this kind of blessing would fall on the Gentiles. The worst part of the story is when Peter goes back to Jerusalem, he is soundly criticized by the Jewish believers in the Christian faith who said, how in the world can you baptize Gentiles? And Peter told the whole story again and I think sort of defused the criticism. But Peter didn't get to choose who was going to be on this Christian team. Peter didn't get to choose who it was that God called into the fellowship that Jesus opens for everybody. And perhaps we can remember that today, that we don't get to choose who God calls either. But we have the same directive, the same command, the same expectation from Jesus that the disciples were given on this night of the Last Supper. That expectation is that you and I will love each other in the same ways that Jesus loved us. And Jesus sort of makes a point in conveying that charge when he says, no man loves another more than when he gives up his own life for that other. And so Jesus sort of foreshadows what it is that he is about to do. and ask that that kind of love be the love that identifies Christian believers. That kind of love can't rule out the house of Cornelius. That kind of love can't rule out the one that doesn't own the land but that works the land. The one that doesn't live in a big house but rents the trailer. The one whose social and economic position is nowhere near perhaps where yours or mine might be. But the ones who are part of the world that Jesus loves, who are part of those for whom Jesus stretched out his arms and died. The ones that Jesus charges us to love just because he loved them. And just because they need it. And truthfully, because we need to love. We can't truly be the people of God unless we love as Jesus loved. We would not be identified as the people of God without sharing that love. Jesus made that clear. But I don't think our hearts would be the people of God if we weren't able to at least go beyond our comfort zones, maybe, to provide love for people that we wouldn't expect to love. We have lives that can be upended by that kind of love. We have plans that can be disrupted by the kind of love that Jesus calls us to for others. But no man loves more than when he or she gives up their own life in favor of another. Does that sound like a mother's love in many ways? The sacrifices that are made by mothers throughout our lives remind us of the cost of love and the value of love. And hopefully remind us of the benefits of love as well. So we hear today another call by Jesus that we love one another as he has loved us. And hopefully we know how Jesus has loved us. The depth of it, the breadth of it. Just how much, how deep, how long, and how costly that love has been for us. And Jesus asks us to share that kind of love, counting the cost perhaps, but not deciding against it because of the cost. Loving each other because we are loved. Loving each other in the ways that we are loved. Being known as Christians because of our love. It's a great challenge. It's something none of us can do in our own strength, but something all of us can do in the strength of the Holy Spirit, guiding us, leading us, comforting us, and strengthening us in our experience and in our lives. Showing us perhaps those that God would include in the kingdom that we haven't considered for his kingdom. Showing us how to love, reminding us how much we have been loved, giving us good examples in mothers and fathers and Christian brothers and sisters, examples we can emulate, examples we can lift up thanks to God for that we've had in our lives. Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." So love each other. Jesus chooses everybody. Not everybody accepts. Some don't accept because they have bad examples from other Christians. Some don't accept because we haven't loved each other in the ways that Jesus asks us to love. But Jesus chooses his disciples and calls us friends as he numbers us among them. I don't know about you, but the anxiousness that I might have had is gone when I hear Jesus' words, "I chose you, and I send you to love others as I have loved you. I chose you so that you might bear fruit, and so that your fruit might last." That fruit is Christ's love that we share from him with all that he calls I think I'd like to recognize Mother's Day and respond to that word today with the prayer petitions that are in the handout in your bulletins. And so I will offer the parts of that that are not in bold type, and I would ask you to join me in the parts that are in bold type. Let us pray this prayer. For our mothers who have given us life and love, that we may show them reverence and love, we pray to the Lord. For mothers who have lost a child through death, that their faith may give them hope, and their family and friends support and console them, we pray to the Lord. For women, though without children of their own, who like mothers have nurtured and cared for us, we pray to the Lord. For mothers who have been unable to be a source of strength, who have not responded to their children and have not sustained their families, we pray to the Lord. Loving God, as a mother gives life and nourishment to her children, so you watch over your church. Bless these women that they may be strengthened as Christian mothers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn recognizes the mothering qualities of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we sing this song, and the verses are on the back of the same insert in your bulletin, I would remind you that our altar is open if you would like to come forward and pray. So let's sing Mothering God, You Gave Me Birth. Go forth in peace to serve God, to love each other as your mother has loved you, and certainly as Christ has loved you. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you, now and forever. Amen.